took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Hello, folks. This is Pastor David, and I'm with my good friend,
Pastor Barry.
Yeah. And we're beginning a series tonight, a three-program series that we believe is pretty fundamental Bible stuff that we think the church needs to, we believe God put it on our hearts to explore it with you.
That's right.
Over the next 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. So if you give you a moment to grab your Bibles or punch up Bible Gateway on your phone or whatever your Bible program is so that you can follow along with us. And this is going to be our basic scripture for the next three programs. And it's basically talking about the greatest commandment, and Jesus is cornered by a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We discussed it before we started recording if the Pharisee didn't like Jesus or was just curious to see where he stood on this issue. But his response to the question is eye-opening, and it's also deliciously fundamental to the Christian life. And that's why we need to unpack it tonight and over the next three weeks.
It's as relevant today as it was all those years ago, David.
Oh, everything is...
The living word.
The living word. Mm-hmm. And so because our mission from God is to help prepare our listeners for the coming revival and to get them and their churches ready for that, as God leads you, of course, to do that, we're trying to get back to basics. So without any further... yammering on my part. Barry, would you read the scripture and kick us off?
Yes, sir, it'd be my honor. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Mm. The word of the Lord.
Amen. 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 And we were talking, you read, and now this, by the way, this was the great distillation of God's word that had been done by the rabbis, the teachers,
right,
for hundreds of years. I mean, they... At some point, one of them came up with and said, you know, there's two commandments that are really important here. You know,
right over here.
Right over here.
I didn't know they were in Brooklyn, but that's okay.
Well, no, there are some today. But the point being is that the Holy Spirit loves to simplify things, and that probably would be a whole program series for us.
Yes.
But to reduce... the law of Moses, really, the essence of the law of Moses, to two commandments, keeping in mind at this time that the law of Moses had developed to the point where there were 613 tenets of the law, different aspects of the law of Moses, which, frankly, made it very difficult to
burdensome.
Understand.
I mean, that's a heavy burden
heavy
to carry
burden.
And still managed to squeak out a life.
Yeah,
you know,
seriously.
Sure.
And the spirit of religion got in that, and the legalism.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, it just pounded on people. So Jesus was, but this statement that he made really is a rich, ancient statement that God helped some rabbi, pull together to simplify. And Jesus is simply saying, and what this guy already knew, but he wanted to know if Jesus felt that way. But for our listeners today, this is important. This applies to us. So the question that, and the theme for today, by the way, is to give God your total life, not empty promises. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this scripture, but which was expected of God of the Hebrew people.
Sure.
Too.
Yes, and it was encouraging people to live a consecrated life and to deny themselves the things of this world that are so attractive and still are. And living a consecrated life, a committal in your heart to only do things and say things and think things that are in accordance with God. Doesn't that sound simple, David? Do that. Just go and do that. And then you have to go live it.
Right.
That's tough.
It sounds simple, but many of us know if you've really wanted to live this commandment out, you know how difficult it is.
Right.
And because it's not something we can do totally on our own. We can want to do it, but I personally do not have the power within me, you know, the mental acuity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have really any resources within my humanity to do this apart from the desire of my heart. And if I just have that and give that to Jesus, that's enough. Because it's God that's going to have to enable us to live out this commandment. And frankly, if you want to know the truth, if you get back to the Ten Commandments, none of those we can accomplish without God's grace anyway.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anybody in my life that I've met so far, with the exception of Jesus Christ, that was able to check off every commandment.
Done that.
But you know, I think in ancient times, the Hebrews had someone called a Nazirite. Remember the Nazirites?
I do.
A total commitment of your life.
Total.
Shaving your head and going off and just putting your hand up to the world saying, nope, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to see you. I just want to bask in the glory of God.
Amen.
And live your life like that, separate from the world. Do we want to go that far? I wouldn't mind shaving my head, especially in the summertime down here.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, some people say that's carrying it too far, but when it comes to this, there's nothing that you can carry too far, because in the end, we all stand before Christ with no lawyer.
No.
Your pastor's not with you. It's just you and God.
Yeah.
And so, that being said, I appreciate what you said, that just making the commitment and doing the best you can, God understands that.
He does.
Thus, we have the cross.
That's right.
But in our hearts, we want to be as perfect as we can for him. And we try.
We try, David. We try, and I think the true trying, the most significant effort is when we, at the foot of the cross, we say to the Lord, you know, I can't do this on my own.
Right.
Now, that's true of anything that we're called to do, anything of God.
Mm-hmm.
But this character of the spiritual life, this essence, if you will, of the relationship with God in Jesus Christ, the whole Godhead is involved in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that we are willing to submit our total life to God. You know, now people say, what does that mean?
Not 90%, not even 99%.
No.
100%.
Can I keep 10% like the tithe? You know, turn it around. I'll give you 10%. I'll give you 90%.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep 10%. No, no. No, why is that? Well, because if you don't give, if we don't return to God, what he's given us in that sense, because he's calling us to submit to his authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his authority is the authority that's mediated by a perfectly loving God. You're going to be under somebody's authority.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd want to be under God's authority.
And yet the world is afraid.
Yeah.
There's trepidation there. They don't want to take a risk,
right,
if you will. You know, I have all this. I have my pile over here, David. You know,
right.
I've got the stuff. Do I really want to walk away from all that empty-handed and follow him? You know, you think about Peter and John and James and the gang leaving their jobs, their family, the father, following someone they really didn't know.
Yeah.
And they just simply dedicated the rest of their lives 100% to Christ. Do we have that kind of faith? I pray we do. I pray if Jesus walked by us, stopped in the station, said, David, Barry, follow me right now.
Yeah.
That we would take off the headsets and go.
Absolutely. And you'd be getting a lot of dead air.
Yes,
you,
if
this
that
coming
happens, if that happens. Yeah,
on the 24th of October. Because if he came in right now, we're gone, folks. But I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to finish at least this particular program. But this is this is such an essential truth that the Bible, again and again in Old and New Testament, brings to the foreground,
mm-hmm.
that at some point in our lives, we turn to Christ. He wants all of us. He wants us to be all in.
All in. That's every hour, every minute of your life, not just Sundays.
Right.
Not just Wednesday nights, but always, every day.
And people will say, well, how does he do that? You know, and you know, my life right now, I've got some really cool things I'm doing. Does that mean I can't do those things?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had people ask me that as a pastor, you know, and when I was doing in the big churches and
right.
a lot of people coming up and they'd want to know all of this stuff. And I'd say to them, as I'm saying to our listeners right now, no, doesn't mean that. It means that when we submit ourselves to God, and first of all, again, even that is driven by the Holy Spirit. Even mm-hmm. that is a grace-empowered moment.
Right.
Because God is not, folks, listen, God is not going to drag you kicking and screaming into the kingdom. He's not going to do that.
That's not how it works.
Not how it works.
That's not the God I know.
No. No. But when I give my life to the God who made me,
mm-hmm.
and I know this, that God is only one God, yes, there's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem, mm-hmm. you know, with the Trinity, even though I can't understand it, you know. There's nobody that can except
Here, let me explain all this
yeah,
to you, David.
Oh, really?
I got it all figured
okay.
out.
Tell you what, let's schedule another 42 sessions just for that.
Just for that?
And even then, we'll be more confused than when we started.
That's true.
But to submit, okay, someone will say, how do I get started? And I would like to share, because this business of being all in
mm-hmm.
Is something that God lovingly, I'm going to speak from my personal life, but God lovingly encouraged me, invited mm-hmm. me to open up to what that means. And it was a conscious decision on my part one night in prayer. It was actually my evening prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing the Spirit say, you're not all in. You haven't completely submitted. You're holding stuff back.
Ah.
You know, you're holding parts of your heart back. And God says, you know, you can do that because I'm not going to force my way in.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, in order for me to completely transform you to be the man I intended for you to be before you were born,
mm-hmm.
when I conceived you in my mind, that in order for that to happen, you need to allow me to come in deep into your heart, into the
right.
deep depths of your heart. And you know, I will tell you that I acknowledge that,
mm-hmm.
and I opened up in prayer and I said, Lord, help me to do that. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a long-term process of several years. And in fact, you know, I will say that there are still some areas that he's now getting into,
mm-hmm.
but because I let him in, then he's going to pick those parts of my life that he wants to bless, to fill, to transform.
Mm-hmm.
Now then at that point, it becomes his timing. But let me just ask you, and to our listeners, to say you're hearing this, you're probably a little fear. And that fear is not from God, because it's from your own personal sense of not wanting to be violated. Now, I agree with that. I don't want to be violated.
No.
You know, I don't want you to be violated. But God does not violate. God blesses.
Mm-hmm.
God empowers. When God moves into those places in your heart, when you finally submit to him, open your heart to him, he lovingly comes in. You know, it's like you have a housewarming and you've invited Jesus and you open the door and here he comes. He's got presents. He's got food. You know, he's got all this furniture. I mean, whatever you need. I mean, Jesus comes in, and a whole crowd of the communion of saints. I mean, they just come in and fill your house. Jesus fills your spirit.
Right.
You know, and that's the truth that of what happens. But it's also true that we need to do that.
We need to do that because if you think of your soul as a room, maybe an attic, and it gets cluttered up with all kinds of stuff, and it gets dusty and cobwebs, and there's boxes of junk in there that you haven't opened in years, and all this stuff gathers and gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And if you think of it as a finite space, you do need to ask God to come into your life and Jesus to come into your soul and clean it out.
Amen.
All the dark places, you know, clean it out. And because this is where the Holy Spirit resides. You don't want to have a dirty home for the Holy Spirit to live in, right?
No.
And that being said, if you're truly going to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, there's some prep work you got to do. You have to make the effort to invite God in and clean out, you know, old unforgiven situations.
Yeah.
Maybe there's sin in there that you forgot to tell the Lord that you were sorry about, things like that. Clean it all out.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, you know, resides there and will guide you. If you say, listen, I want all in, I don't know of a time when the Lord said no.
Yeah.
I see the scripture all the way back 3,000-4,000 years ago. He doesn't say no when people call upon his name. That's not how it works. And yeah. We do need help, David, because we're constantly hit with chaos, noise, and all the other stuff that Satan does to distract us,
mm-hmm.
to confuse us. You know, we leave the house in the morning humming a song. Hopefully it's a church song. And you get in the car and say, today's the day. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to love the Lord all day long till I go to sleep tonight. That's all I'm going to think about. That's all I'm going to pray about. And then someone rear-ends you in the in the intersection.
Oh, man, yeah.
Or you look at that terrible check engine light comes on. And the next thing you know, your mind is somewhere else. It's not on the Lord.
And that brings up the point that we need to make. Because I know a lot of people are thinking, okay, you know, I want to do this, but how do I personally manage that all day? Well, the answer is the same as we gave earlier, that it's God's grace mm-hmm. that makes it happen. God is not going to then send you every day a checklist that you have to, you know, check the boxes as you go, oh, you know, I prayed this morning. Well, you might want to have a checklist for your daily prayer, but the point is, God is not going to call you to account for your thoughts, not to be the CPA of your mind, you know, where you have to. God's not going to ask you to
well
do
said.
That.
Well said, yes.
God's going to manage it. So more so, he's in control. He's going to transform your life so that your life becomes God-honoring,
mm-hmm.
so that Jesus is seen in you. Not just when you talk about him and somebody gets a concept of what you think Jesus is, but rather your actions. You'll be so transformed that your life's going to change. Your actions are going to reflect Christ in you. And that's when you have that going on, you are all in.
And when you're all in, the second commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself kicks into full gear. You see people differently.
Yeah.
You hear them, the same person that was talking to you at work for the last 10 years suddenly sounds different because you sense maybe a pain in their voice. Or you look at them as someone who you truly do love and you've never said it. Right?
Right, exactly.
Now, if you go to work tomorrow morning and you run up to everybody at work and give them a hug and say, I love you, well, your boss is probably going to call you in and ask you, what the heck's going on here? And that's a nice way of putting it. But the thing is, that is predicated just on your relationship, your new relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, the old expression, you can't give peace unless you possess peace. And you can't give love unless you possess love. You can't fake it, folks. You can't
that's
fake
right.
it. Because people will spot you a mile away and just say, well, that guy's just full of beans. You know, that's a hypocrite over there.
And that's what some people think that if they put on the show, mm-hmm. you know, and some people are good at it, you know, very convincing. But if it's not, if Jesus is not in your heart,
mm-hmm.
if you haven't given that heart to God, then what you're doing is sort of a, well, it's kind of a corruption of the character of the Christian heart,
right?
Christian life.
If you want to carry that to the next level, being an imposter, and one might even bring up the word blasphemy.
Yeah. Now let me say something else. Having sure. said, well, I just because we're trying to build on this and yes. hit people's concerns, you
okay.
know. So then someone out there may be thinking, all right, I can get this to the point, open my heart willingly,
mm-hmm.
ask God to come in, that I want to live out this commandment. In fact, it'd be a great prayer. Lord, I want my life to reflect what Jesus intended when in Matthew 22, 34 through 40, which mm-hmm. is the scripture we've been dealing with tonight. I want that. That's a good prayer. God will answer because you're saying you want it. God's going to make it happen. In his time. But then here's the other thing. And then Satan comes along and says, all right, you know, you do that. But as soon as you make one mistake, the whole thing falls apart.
Ah.
If as soon as one sin, of course, Satan is also going to be the one to tempt you. But mm-hmm. so now he's going to get you anxious, right? So we've got to say to you, don't listen to that.
Right.
What God does, Satan cannot undo. And frankly, neither can you. If you have Jesus in your heart, you've invited him in as Lord and Savior. So at that point when you did that, you received your salvation. That's what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
So we still are sinners, and then we have to repent. But when we sin, it doesn't destroy our salvation. We got to start all over again. It doesn't do that. That's a lie of the devil.
Back to page one. Start again.
Back to page one, yeah. Yep. I mean, Barry, you and I know we'd be constantly starting over again every 20 minutes,
nope.
maybe. You know, because that's not how. No, God's got this. God has got this. If you open up your heart, if you submit, if you want to say, God, I want to be all in, and I want this command, I want to live this commandment. And I'll tell you, he will do that. He will do it in his time. He will come alongside. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you and enable that and empower that. And encourage you in that, and you will begin that life.
That's a bold step, though.
Oh, it is.
It's a very bold step. It requires courage. It requires spiritual courage, but also I think that it involves someone who has a deep, deep desire for peace and for joy and for salvation, and that enables them to look past their humanity. Past today, the noise of the last hour, and you know, it's very inviting, but it can be scary, particularly for someone who's living a relatively successful life. You know, maybe they haven't been addicted to anything, you know, drugs or alcohol, and they've lived a fairly nice, decent life, they say, and life at home is good, and they're going to take the dive into the deep end. Takes a little courage, folks.
But you're not alone.
No.
You know, you got Jesus, you've got your fellow brothers and sisters.
Sure.
In the church, the body of Christ. But I'll tell you, trust God. Trust God. Yeah, it's a big step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was scared. I mean, I would have probably been less scared to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, you know.
Right.
Although someone once said, who was a pilot, said, I can't see doing that because why do you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? But okay, I can dig it. You know, it's a thing. But that to me, I was more afraid of submitting to God than I was when we do anything else almost.
Well, yeah. It's a big step, but it's a step. And once you've taken the step, there is life on the other side, a forever life, eternal life.
Eternal life,
and, you know, you're giving up nothing.
And the life that you have today before mm-hmm. You go to be with Jesus improves in so many ways. The list is so long that I can't begin to tell you, but mm-hmm. mostly that it's the spiritual strength and assurance that you have
right.
that you didn't have before. Because before you were all in And Jesus came in and began to do the transforming work that would shape you into being the person he knew that you could be and should be.
Mm-hmm.
And keep that in mind. You know, you were running a scam, not running a scam, you're running a con on yourself. You had created, you cobbled a life together. You said, this is my life, and tell the world, this is my life, you know?
Right.
And you probably didn't see how empty and how meaningless it was on occasion,
mm-hmm.
because you really wanted to keep that narrative going.
That's right.
You know, but along comes Jesus, says, I got a better life for you. Isn't that why you received him in the first place?
Amen.
You know, so it's just a deeper movement. For you and for the Spirit of God today. And speaking of movement, the movement of the clock over here tells me that our time's running out.
It didn't stop.
No, it never does.
That happens.
Well,
every
it will
show.
At the end of time.
Ah, throw away your watches. Throw away your.
If you're wearing a watch at the end of time, just throw that puppy away. At any rate, I would love to close us in prayer,
please,
if I
do.
May.
Yes, sir.
Both of our hearts, Lord, are so open to our listeners who may be struggling right now. The believing listeners who have given their lives to Christ, but and they're growing and they're reaching out, they're seeking to get stronger, and the enemy's on the attack. He's trying to keep them from getting stronger, and he's lying to them and it's frustrating them, and just pray that they would get on their knees at the foot of the cross, Lord, and open their hearts to you. And maybe for the first time in their lives, say, Lord, transform me. Take me. I want to fulfill this commandment. I want to love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind, and I want to love my neighbors as myself. And that other piece, I want to love myself, which is, I know the Lord, the hardest of all. Lord, bless our listeners. And if our listeners are not saved, if they don't know you, Lord Jesus, may this be the thing that draws them to you, the truth that in Christ, the best life awaits us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Barry, thanks for being with me tonight.
And thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure. We have such a good time together. Until next week, and keep in mind, this is session one of three sessions on these scriptures. Next week, we're going to talk about loving yourself. Tune in.
God bless you.
God bless. Have a good night.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.